John Batts with my two good colleagues, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang and Charles Burton in Ottawa at Synopsys. Gordon, I start with you. What is to be done, if anything? The revelation of, say, about 2,000 years of revolution is that it only works when it comes from inside, when the people who are suffering rise up. Is that credible, or does it need a push?
It needs a push, and the push has got to come from outside. At least that's been the general consensus of political scientists. The problems inside China are really severe, as Charles has talked about. When you have President Trump, for instance, pressuring China on trade, this is critical because Xi Jinping's view is the only way out for China is to export more. And if Trump denies the Chinese the U.S. market, which comprises maybe 38-39% of global consumer spending, China then has a critical problem because other countries will do the same thing. So that could very well be the external push that Charles was talking about in bringing an end to Chinese communism.
You have a question for Charles.
Charles, you have said that Xi Jinping's rule is unsustainable, and he probably, his days are numbered, as you put it. What happens? And I know this is very difficult because this really is crystal ball looking. But what happens? Does Xi Jinping lash out and go and pressure his neighbors? Or does China just implode and the rest of the world can watch it with relative safety?
Yeah, I mean, we have often thought of, you know, the Falklands, Margaret Thatcher kind of scenario where she would rally nationalistic support behind his failing rule by engaging in an attempt to annex the island of Taiwan. But, you know, because, as you point out, it seems that the military is not as solidly behind Mr. Xi as expected, this may not be an option. In other words, if he gives the direction to prepare for war with Taiwan, they may not do it. So the other more likely scenario would probably be the one similar to what happened to the remnants of Chairman Mao, his widow, and the three other members of the so-called Gang of Four, which is that there would be military action and people would be arrested, and then there would be a transitional government. One hopes that the transition would be towards China as a society that would adopt democratic norms similar to what happened in the other, one might refer to as Confucian democracies of South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. But there's also, you know, the horrendous possibility that China would move in a more right-wing, nationalist, fascistic military regime that could be even more dangerous than the one we're dealing with now. So, as you say, the scenarios are difficult to predict, but I have a degree of confidence in the Chinese people that they will make the right choice when the time comes. But I've been overly optimistic about things in the past. I thought that China would become democratic just prior to June 4th, 1989, and that certainly did not happen either.
Was China ever a capitalist state, Charles, or have we allowed ourselves to be fooled?
Well, I mean, I suppose that one might see some elements of capitalism in China in the period between 1911 and the early 1950s, but it was a kind of monopolistic capitalism, a kind of crony capitalism, more like what you see in the Philippines than what one might see in say, Scandinavia.
So what we have here then is a hybrid, is something that is unique in the world. I'm trying to figure out if the economy is a metric we should pay attention to. Because in our country, if our economy went as bad as China's has gone bad, we'd have a revolution. But I don't know if China has that same response, because I don't know the original understanding of the economy.
Well, I think that if the Chinese people are convinced that the reason the economy is going bad is because of actions by foreign powers, specifically the United States, that would rally the people to try and put up with the ensuing hardship for how long remains to be seen. If they more correctly identify the decline in the economy as due to Mr. Xi's policies towards the West and domestically, then I think we will see people demanding that there's a change and that China become an economy which the world will be prepared to trade with, because they will be a predictable nation based on rule of law.
Gordon, is this the end of the revolution? She's misconduct?
I think so, John. I've been wrong about this in the past, but I do believe that it is the end of the string, largely because there are no foreseeable or probable scenarios where China gets out of this without somehow getting rid of communism. So I do believe that the Communist Party's days really are numbered in very short time frames.
Now, the communism ended in Russia without violence, at least nominally in the first 10 years. Is that a credible model for China, Gordon, and without violence for 10 years?
It's possible if the military, for instance, seizes Xi Jinping and detains him. There could be some sort of negotiated solution. The problem for China is that the Communist Party had actually developed norms, guidelines, and rules for succession. And so you could sort of figure out who was going to be next. Because Xi Jinping's plan for longevity involved making sure there were no successors, it has really opened up the possibility for anything to occur. And in a situation like that, I could see the Chinese military coming in, declaring martial law, putting Xi Jinping in prison, and just hoping that the civilians could negotiate their way into a better future.
And Charles, 30 seconds, is that a scenario you could sign on to, or do you think we can avoid?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, I don't think there's anybody really in China who believes in the ideology of the regime. And so once you remove Mr. Xi from the picture, I think the people will be amenable to positive political change and will not be arming the barricades to defend Mr. Xi and try and bring him out of prison and restore him to power. I don't think that would ever happen. Once he's gone, he'll be gone for good.
Charles Burton of Synopsis in Ottawa, Canada. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.